Fake news. Fake news. One of Donald Trump's favourite sayings, isn't it? And he usually seems to use it if there's something he disagrees with. But it can be hard to know who to trust, can it not? Say you've got a health problem, you go on the internet, you put it in the search, and it comes up with suggestions of perhaps treatments you could have. People are saying, oh, this is great, and you think, well, I'm not sure whether I should trust this. And of course, if you ask a friend, it's a different matter. Say, Pete says to me, oh, I've got that problem with my knee, and I tried this, and it really helped. I'm going to be a lot more likely, aren't I, to give it a go, because I would trust his opinion. And this gospel passage deals with real news, good news, not fake news, and how it can be passed on. But it also has something to say about trust, who we can trust, and whether people can trust us. Good stories always have memorable characters. So let's have a look at the ones in this story. First of all, John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, the character that first introduced us to Jesus as the saviour of the world. And before, of course, Jesus started his ministry, John had a ministry of his own, encouraging people to turn away from their sins and be baptised. Some things we read about him are not in this story that we've just heard. They're in other Gospels. We read in the other Gospels that John had gathered quite a following with his strange appearance and his fiery teaching. Mark's Gospel tells us that he wore a coat made of camel hair, which sounds a bit itchy, I think. And he had a leather belt round his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. But John is not trying to draw attention to himself, even though these things might be a little odd, even in those days. And he's definitely not setting himself up as a saviour. He points in everything he does to Jesus. Earlier in this chapter, in verse 8, the gospel writer says, "He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light." And in verse 31, he explains, "The reason I came baptizing with water was so that he, Jesus, might be revealed to Israel." John had many followers, and even Jesus was baptized by him. In the other Gospels, we read this story and how John said it should be the other way around. But Jesus insists. John gave this testimony. "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven," this is verse 32, "and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one.'" So that's John telling us secondhand about the story. But back to our gospel reading today. When John sees Jesus, he points him out to two of his followers, and they decide to follow after Jesus. Now, I'm no Greek scholar, but the word follow is used in different contexts here. And I think this means literally follow, walk after him. And he invites them to come and spend the day with him. One of these is called Andrew, and the other we don't know the name of. But scholars suggest it was probably the author of this gospel, another John. This day with Jesus clearly has a major impact on them. In verse 41, it says, "The first thing Andrew did was find his brother Simon and tell him, 'We found the Messiah,' that is the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus." So now in our story we have John, we have Andrew, we had no name, probably John too, Simon and Jesus. But there's two more characters. Jesus calls Philip to follow him, and Philip tells Nathanael about this. Nathanael gets into a little debate about Jesus, but eventually he's convinced that he should follow him too. Here's the point. There's a mix of approaches going on here. Some people are introduced to Jesus and some Jesus calls directly. Some follow him straight away, others need a little longer. But John was the first. His faithfulness caused a chain reaction. His faithfulness to what God was asking him to do. Just pause for a moment and think how you first heard about Jesus. I heard about Jesus myself in my childhood, at home and at Sunday school, but it was the persistence of a friend who invited me back to church after I'd stopped going, even though I said no more than once, that enabled me to hear about him again in a new way and eventually give my life to him, to understand about him dying on the cross for me, to understand that his resurrection has defeated death and I can share in eternal life because of what he did. Sometimes people hear about Jesus even more directly than I did. Not only in Bible stories from Bible times, but even today he speaks through visions and spiritual experiences. This seems especially true of people whose culture makes it difficult for them to hear the gospel. This story is from the Open Doors organization. Mustafa, a new convert in Egypt, traveled to Cairo with the intention of killing his cousin. His cousin Muhammad had converted from Islam to Christianity. In Egypt, making this conversion is seen as a betrayal of one's family and heritage. Christian converts risk losing their family, friends, and even their lives. After finding his cousin, sitting in a Christian worship service, Mustafa slipped in behind him and waited to make his move. But as he listened to the songs and prayers, he noticed that the words he was hearing appealed to him. Following the service, Mustafa approached Muhammad with tears in his eyes. "I came all the way from our family's village to spy on you and to see if you had indeed become a Christian," he said. "I should inform your family about what I saw, but I just can't. I think the choice you made might have been the right one. Can you tell me more? Why did you leave Islam for Christianity?" That evening, the cousin spent hours talking about the gospel. That night, Mustafa had a dream. He saw Jesus on the cross, looking at him and saying, "I did all of this because I love you, and I want you to be free from your sins." The next morning, Mustafa told Muhammad what he saw in his dream and asked his cousin to pray together with him for his salvation. Mustafa recalled telling God, "I planned to kill my cousin, your follower, but now I'm prepared to give my life for you myself." The following month, Mustafa was baptized with his cousin standing next to him. He hasn't told his family that he and Muhammad are now followers of Jesus, and the two men are currently living as secret believers because Egypt is a country that poses extreme danger and violence for Christians because of Islamic extremists. This autumn at Sir Stephen's, we have a lot going on. We have events that we can invite friends and families to. Craft fair, watching the half marathon outside, rock and roll night, and of course Alpha. Why? Why would we want to do this? Well, any of these might be a way in for a person to meeting other Christians besides us. And it could be the first step for them asking more about what you believe, or even coming to church services and eventually meeting Jesus for themselves. And that's not because we have all the answers. We're right, they're wrong. It's more, as one writer put it, one beggar showing another beggar where to find bread. I, for one, don't find sharing my faith particularly easy, but if you feel the same, take the pressure off yourself. The Holy Spirit is at work in people's lives, and we have to use an image found elsewhere in the Gospels, sow seeds and see if they will grow. And some of them will. Go back to my original point about trust. We may be suspicious of strangers and whether they're really interested in our well-being, but we take advice from people we trust. Andrew and his fellow disciple trusted John. Simon Peter trusted Andrew. Nathaniel trusted Philip. I'm sure you have people around you who trust you and respect your opinion. Why not find a way of introducing them or reintroducing them to Jesus this autumn? I believe he'll honour our efforts to honour him. And if we pray for opportunities, we will find them. In the case of Alpha, if you are someone, you could offer to come with them the first time. It can be a little bit daunting. Every life, every year, lives are changed. So the experience of attending Alpha, perhaps if you haven't attended before, why not give it a go this year?